You know, we used to semi-joke that the Trop was the house of horrors for the Jays because, you know, like all sorts of awful results would happen there. Inexplicable things would go down. It kind of looked like, it was one of the few ballparks I've actually been to. It looks like the eye of Sauron is kind of like looking down at the field on the players at all times. And, you know, when the news came down that the Rays were going to play at Steinbrenner Field this season, I definitely thought maybe the House of Horrors had been closed at least for the year, because it sounds like they're going to play there next year, which is definitely a good thing for them. But I guess the curse that afflicts the Jays down there is not actually about the ballpark. It's more about the GTA, the general Tampa area, as it's another loss for the Jays down at Steinbrenner Field, their second in a row, a 3-1 loss as the Jays fall to 25-26, 13 walks in two games. No Rebbe with runners on base and a series loss to show for it. Weird things just, I guess, continue to happen down in Tampa, regardless of the ballpark. The Trop, I guess, is more of an idea than an actual place, it would seem. You're listening to Jay Stock, of course. Show Ali here with you. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on Sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text me as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's Text Line, always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. You know, I had said not that long ago that even when the team does experience positive results, like a sweep of the Padres, that the team does feel so inconsistent that, I mean, you never really know what the team will look like on any given night. It's like the infamous box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And I had said earlier in the season that they do feel like, one, they are allergic to being too far above 500, and two, they are likely going to hover at, you know, plus minus two or three games either above or below 500 all season long. And that's kind of what we've gotten so far. Before the Padres series, they were 22-24. They won three in a row, so they went up to 25-24 after the sweep. And now they're 25-26 after losing two straight. I mean, that does not by any means invalidate what they did against the Padres, but it does take us back to the lack of consistency, something we haven't seen a ton of. Let's be honest, right? Even in the Padres series, you're looking at items that certainly are positive that you're not seeing before or after. Again, in consistency has seemingly eluded this team a lot. But again, I mean, you know, Blair and Barker have said this before. I've said this before. You could probably play any number of Jays talks when the pitching is good and the offense is not. Because after we've said many times after these types of games, I just find it hard to put it on the pitching. I mean, one mistake, a bad mistake from Berríos very early on. But this game, as many of these losses have been on the offense, right? Six hits, five walks, and one run to show for it. Again, 13 walks in two games, two runs to show for it over two straight games. They actually tonight doubled up the Rays in hits. The Rays won with three hits and two walks. Berríos allowing all three hits, two in the first, and the Chandler Simpson hit later in his outing. And that's it. Oh, man, that's brutal, right? That's just brutal. In yesterday's game, the Blue Jays' top four batters, Bo, Vladdy, Varsho, Springer, all went a combined, so this is yesterday, a combined 0-13 with three walks, one for Vladdy, two from Springer. Now, tonight, we did get a solo home run from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It was a changeup, I believe, that Boz threw, you know, more or less right down the middle. Definitely not where he wanted to put that, given that Vladdy has struggled with pitches inside, but he pummeled that baseball. Now, that's nice to see. That's one positive we'll get out of the way, because Vladdy was, you know, known for having a great eye and being selective with pitches he punishes. So, you know, here's hoping you see more of that from him going after misfires down the middle. I mean, few players in baseball can give you that satisfying noise off the bat for a dinger as Vladdy can. So that's definitely positive. But, I mean, this team is going to go as the top four guys go, and Vladdy's a huge part of that, right? So 0-13 with three walks in Friday's game. And tonight, even when you count that Vladdy home run, these same four batters, so Bo, Vladdy, Varsho, Springer, again, 0-13 with the walks yesterday, went 1-16. So in two games, the only on-base action from your top four batters in over 30 plate appearances was a solo bomb from Vladdy and three walks, none of which came in tonight's game. I mean, that's a tough look, right? That is a tough look. Now, one other positive real quick, and again, it matters less when they don't win, because, you know, they lose. They're back below 500 again. How many moral victories, silver linings can we really do? And I know I'm like the king of moral victories, but Santander did have two hits and two walks tonight. So he wasn't retired at all this evening in four tries for the Rays. And I mean, this is coming after the pinch hit walk yesterday to bring the tying run to the plate against Pete Fairbanks as well. So you like that? You kind of hope the OBP continues to go up for Santander. Kirk had a hit and a walk tonight as well. So you're not overlooking the positives from those two, but you just simply need more from your top four guys. Now, in Bo's case, I will say both yesterday and today, he was hitting like some absolute rockets directly at people. So certainly some bad luck there, but the luck excuse can only take you so far, right? And now that a few games are necessarily going to impact how the team should approach contracts for Bo versus what the entire season brings you, because he's still having a decent season, decent to good season, I would say. But the contract aspect of it all could vary so wildly with him. Like, there are a bunch of texts here about like, hey, like, should you give Bo a 1 year deal? And I think that's valid to think, right? I tend to believe that he'll get a long-term deal no matter who he signs with, whether it's the Blue Jays or anyone else. I still think it'll end up being like 28 to 30 million a year over the course of 10 to 12 years. But I mean, if you're going to choose to pay someone that much money, and this is a conversation that applies to Vladdy certainly as well, although tonight is maybe not the night for Vladdy slander, given that he was the only guy to score a run tonight. But I mean, you just need far more power than what you're getting from Bo, right? I mean, that puts him in the range of what guys like Trey Turner and Corey Seager got. And at least this year, the stats are actually like somewhat comparable. They're in the same ballpark at least, but the point remains, you do need more from not just Bo, but from all of them. Before we go to the phones, as long as we're talking about Bo, he did have a terrific defensive play in the eighth, running to his right, stabs the ball on the run, and then kind of like body falling away from first, he fires the ball to Vladdy, who makes the pick. So you can't forget that. But again, tonight's conversation, to be fair, is about the power and the offense at large, which we haven't seen for a couple of games. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Those are the numbers to call. We'll go back to the text line in a sec, 590-590, name and location. But let's go to the phones. Greg joining us from Niagara Falls. Greg, what's up?
How you doing, show?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Like a couple of things here. They just don't have the power hitters they used to have either. Like, everybody's just talking power. They, you know, like you said about the positives, the last 10 games over 60 runs scored, and they have hit about 27 home runs in May. But back to Santander, he's off to a slow start, so I think they're really going to need another hitter anyways, and Jeff Blair's mentioned that too. I really believe that. So what do you think?
Yeah, hey, appreciate the call, Greg. Thanks for joining me. I always felt that you can bury certain guys if they're not, like, in the lineup, right? You can kind of hide if they're not playing particularly well. But Blair's right, and Barker's right. I mean, I'll give Barker a lot of credit on this too, right? He said many, many, many times over the course of the whole season, I think I even had Barker on with me during one of the daytime shows during the off season after the Super Bowl, when we're getting ready for spring training, that, and we had the conversation about like, hey, they got Santander. That's great. It's a decent deal, all things considered, but is that enough? And he unequivocally said no. And he said that on Blair and Barker. He has said that on this program many times. So, and he's right. I think the problem is, and I do agree, Greg, I do believe they do need another thumper, as Barker likes to say. It's just, I'm not really sure that guy is out there, right? I know JD Martinez is a popular choice because Martinez has been known just like historically over the course of his career to not do anything but hit for power. But I don't know. I mean, Martinez, from last I checked, I think he had one of the, outside of the COVID season, the 60 game season, Martinez essentially had one of the worst seasons of his entire career, if not the worst season, when it comes to average and OPS and power results. So I'm not sure he is the answer. I suppose we are getting to the point where I would like them to try something, right? And I do wonder, at least when it comes to results within the organization, I mean, you know, Santander has to go on the IL. It doesn't look like he's that close to going on the IL, given that he played in this game and also played pretty well, all things considered. So that's definitely a positive. But I mean, I kind of wonder if a reason they're really trying to prevent that is because they know, to Greg's point, there are no other internal solutions, right? I mean, who's the next closest internal solution? Like Alan Roden? And I'm not saying that to be mean. Alan Roden has been someone I've been excited to watch, but he just, I don't know, like he just hasn't been someone I think who's going to solve this issue right away, right? To Greg's point about the run scored over the last, what did he say, 10 games, definitely a positive, but I don't know. It's just, it's a tough watch when you kind of know, unless the top guys turn it around and start hitting for power, that it's not going to really change in an appreciably permanent way. And again, I do think it's like early enough that I feel like it can turn around in a hurry. Like all it takes is a good couple of weeks of hitting. It's just to go back to the idea of inconsistency. They've been so inconsistent that I'm not sure if they've shown you that it will turn around quickly anytime soon. And again, I bring up how the top four look, you know, when it comes to 30 plate appearances and not a lot to show for in these two games, which admittedly is a small sample size, not to harp on them, but maybe also to go back to something we've spoken about before, which is simply, you know, like maybe just try some different combinations at this point, right? I mean, we've spoken about protection and, you know, Vladdy's not really getting that right now. I mean, Varsho's batting average, batting third behind Vladdy. I mean, I think he's batting below 197. Batting 192 after the last AB of this game. Now, again, he strikes out a lot. He hits for a lot of power. In a very small sample size, he already leads the team in home runs. So you want a little bit more than that, but I don't know. But try something different. Honestly, like I've said this before. I said this a lot last year when the team was like locked into starting Springer. It felt like atop the order every single game. But if they're struggling, even if in a smaller period, just shake it up a little bit, right? Matt Lucas lead off and then go Bo, Vladdy, Varsho, 2-3-4. Bat Barger lead off in those three. Bat Ernie Clement lead off in those three. Like, I think you leave Santander at six for now until he really appreciably turns it around. And it kind of looks like he might be doing that. Although, again, like a pinch hit walk in one game and then two hits and two walks in the next, you want to see far more than just two games. Certainly. I totally understand that. But just try something different, right? They're only slightly under 500, only a game under 500. So it's not as though the hands are hovering over the panic button for me right now. But knowing that you have Ryan Pepiot tomorrow, and then you got, I believe this is what the probables look like for the Rangers series, but Jacob deGrom, Nathan Eovaldi, and then Tyler Mahle for three straight games. Again, that is according to the Rangers probables beginning Monday. I mean, that sounds super appealing for a team that has not looked great against Tampa Bay. So we'll see. 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to the text line, 590-590, name and location. David in Dartmouth. We were talking about luck, right? And David said, let's see. If it wasn't for bad luck in Tampa Bay, the Blue Jays would have no luck at all. That's actually pretty funny. It's true. I don't think the BABIP gods have been particularly kind to the Blue Jays, but again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I mean, luck can only take you so far, right? Chris from Hamilton on the text line. When is it time to let John Schneider go? I feel like things weren't as weirdly disjointed as when Carlos Tosca was manager. Where do they go from here? I haven't heard that name in a really long time. My goodness. I haven't heard. We're usually getting like the Charlie Montoyo, John Gibbons text, right? We don't get the Tosca text too much, but yeah, I don't know. I you guys have heard me say this before, that John Schneider will always be, all right, let me rephrase, the manager, not just Schneider specifically as a person, but the manager position is always like the easiest button to push, right? Like the Rockies fired Bud Black this year, and things aren't going any better for them since they fired him. And that's because the problem doesn't necessarily lie with him. It lies with roster construction and how the players are performing. I'm not sure. I do think after the Tigers series, after the Padres series, after you've seen a little bit more in the middle of the month, I think, and certainly how they wrapped up the road trip, if you recall, right? It kind of looked like things were not going to go very well on that road trip at all. And then they still managed to come home from the LA Seattle road trip 4-2 after the great series against the Mariners in Seattle, which you don't see very often. But I feel like that has somewhat, to Chris's point, stayed their hand. And again, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean things can't change, but I got to think that doesn't seem like it's a conversation that's top of mind for many people. And hey, I mean, Jimmy Garcia going to the IL, which we'll talk about after the break a little bit more, but Garcia going to the IL, I got to think puts him in a bind in a way that he'll get some slack. I got to think, right? But again, 590-590, name and location. You can reach me there. You can also reach me via the phones. Again, much like Greg did, you can call me at 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-590, *590 on your cell. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll go back to the text line, 590-590, name and location. And we'll check out the Bet365 standings update as well. And we'll also hear from the skipper, who's speaking to the media right now. You're listening to Blue Jays Talk. Blue Jays lose their second straight game, a 3-1 defeat to the Rays. We're back in a flash with more of your texts and John Schneider on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
They do that all the time, I feel like, whether it's here or at the Trop. You know, they're a good defensive team. Being unlucky kind of happens, and that kind of comes and goes. But they pride themselves on pitching and defense. They have for a long time, and they got some really good defenders.
That is John Schneider talking about whether it's luck or if it's just the Rays pitching and defense. Sounds like a little bit of both, I suppose. But the Blue Jays losing their second straight game, 3-1 in both games, actually, to the Rays. They are now 25-26 as we welcome you back to Blue Jays Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali here with you for another couple of minutes. Still some time. Give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. You think I would know what they are. I've only said them a million times. Text line 590-590, name and location is the way to reach me via the text line. Via text, we will read your text in a sec, because before we do that, got to check in on the Bet365 standings update. Download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. It's actually pretty easy to do the standings today, because this division basically has been playing each other. We have our game, Jays Rays. We have the doubleheader between the Orioles and the Red Sox, and then the Yankees are in Colorado taking on the Rockies. Now, the Yankees did lose to the Rockies yesterday. It was not the case today. 13-1, the final score for the Yankees. The doubleheader, which one of the games got rescheduled from yesterday to today, was a split decision for the Orioles and Red Sox. So there was a 6-5 Red Sox extra innings win over the Orioles at Fenway, and then the next game was a 2-1 Baltimore win over the Red Sox. So they split those games, and then we have our game, which was a 3-1 Blue Jays loss. So with all that in mind, the Yankees are 31-20. The Red Sox are 5.5 back. They are exactly 500 at 27-27. The Rays and the Blue Jays are both 25-26. So each of these teams are half a game back of the Red Sox, and then 6 games back of the Yankees. And then you have the Baltimore Orioles bringing up the rear. They are 17-34. They are 14 games back of the Yankees. That's a quick check of the Bet365 standings update. Let's talk a little bit about Jose Berríos before we go back to your texts. And Berríos, you know, coming into this game in the month of May, he had 4 previous starts, and in 3 of them, he had only let up 2 earned runs. One of them was a 5-run blow up, but apart from that blow up, which was actually against the Rays in that 11-9 loss at the Dome, he had somehow managed to still give the Jays a minimum of 6 innings, even when his stuff doesn't look particularly electric, right? But as with the last time out, despite the home run, Berríos gave this team a chance to win. I mean, we can't ignore the home run, certainly, and we won't. We'll get to it. But despite putting them in an early hole, he kept the deficit of 3 runs for the rest of his outing. And as we've discussed, the bats didn't back him up. We knew coming into this game that Berríos had struggled with the breaking ball. I mean, he had struggled with throwing inside the lefties, for example, the sinker often somewhat like leaking back towards the middle of the plate after starting off looking like he was headed for the inside edge. Early on tonight, it looked like he was having issues. I mean, almost like he was fighting the command. And the pitch to Caminero, for example, on the 3-run shot in the first inning, a slurve, he left way too far over the middle of the plate. And right before that, he threw Caminero a slurve that dipped below the zone and was away from Caminero, who barely managed to foul off that ball, if I recall. So he double dipped with the slurve, didn't go well for him. But as the game went on, even as soon as the second inning, I mean, he really picked it up. He gave up the home run to Caminero, and then after that, retired 13 Rays in a row, gives up a single to Chandler Simpson that obviously did not score, and then retired 4 more in a row. So he allows 3 runs after the first 4 batters of the game, and that ends up being his entire ledger. So again, he gave the Jays a chance to win and claw back in it. So it is hard for, I think, anyone to come out and kind of get on Berríos too much, because he has started to show a little consistency, and consistency and consistency, those have been the words of the Blue Jays season, I suppose. The bullpen, the news of the day is that Jimmy Garcia was put on the 15-day IL with right shoulder impingement. So before the game started, I was certainly wondering how the circle of trust would look with Jimmy on the shelf. Now, as far as tonight's game goes, I think you kind of need a lead in order to see someone like Jeff Hoffman. But We can still talk about the effects this might have and who you guys would like to see with an expanded role for now. Now, John Schneider did say in the pregame that the two guys he was somewhat eyeing to take more of a role in the higher leverage spots without Jimmy were Chad Green and Yariel Rodriguez. And I have to imagine you guys, like me, would probably be fine with Y-Rod getting some higher leverage spots, given how he's looked the last few weeks. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, he's essentially been unhittable. So if you can somehow harness that in the eighth inning, and maybe even in the rare save opportunity, I think you do it. The downside is you then don't have him to help out in situations where you need to go to him for longer outings after, like, an Eric Lauer, for example, only gets through four innings or something like that. So we'll see what the outlook looks like for Y-Rod. Obviously, he didn't pitch tonight. I do think he deserves a slightly expanded role in that circle of trust. I admit I am slightly less bullish on Chad Green, but, I mean, he and Yariel are probably the two, like, quote-unquote best righties that you can go to put out fires. I would like to see the Jays play around a little more with the usage of Brendan Little and Mason Fluharty, like, even to right-handed batters. Now, if you do that a little bit more, it does somewhat leave you lighter when facing lefties, of course, because they're the only two lefties on the roster. And I think you'd rather have Little or Fluharty available to pitch to lefties instead of, like, chancing Green with a lefty, for example. So it'll be really interesting to see how the Jays utilize those two now that you know they're going to be called on a little more. And the crazy thing is they've already been used a ton. So what their roles will look like going forward is almost certainly at least guaranteed to be the same as it is now, but perhaps we might see more of them. We did see Fluharty tonight, of course. Walked a batter, struck out another in a full inning of work. Nothing particularly crazy from him. He's looked pretty much the same since after his first two outings of the year. But he was trusted to work in the bottom of the seventh inning yet again, so it probably does continue to speak to how they will view him, use him going forward, which, again, you know, pretty similar to how he's been used so far. Paxton Schultz also looked good today. Tidy 1-2-3 eighth inning of work. He did kind of see the top of the order. He got to face Diaz Josh Lowe. So it does feel like a situation in which they will simply try guys out as much as humanly possible in the next few weeks or more, depending on how long Jimmy is out for. And I would like to see a little bit more from Braden Fisher. I think there's something there. I mean, for a guy you got for a DFA'd Kevin Biggio, I mean, you feel good about him being found money, right? He's gotten some increasingly higher leverage situations. I mean, prior to tonight, he had pitched in six games, seven total innings of work, three total hits, no runs or walks. So, I mean, I do kind of wonder if you see Fisher more in the seventh and eighth innings when need be. I'm not sure I'll necessarily feel amazing about it when he comes in the game with a tie ball game late in a ball game, but it does feel like something that, out of necessity, until at least Swanson returns, something that's coming in the not-too-distant future. Let's look at the text line, though, before we go. Sean in Mississauga at 590-590, name and location. Jays should trade for Luis Robert Jr. Thank you, Sean. Look, Sean, I will say, and you guys know I've been a big fan of Luis Robert, but I don't think this is the right year to trade for him, right? I mean, I know. You buy low, sell high, and, I mean, if you're buying on Luis Robert, you're buying real low. This guy has an OPS, just looked it up, 563. He's a batting average of 180. He's hit five home runs and 18 RBI, which is not, I mean, compared to some of the Blue Jays, it's fine. But, I mean, I don't know that Luis Robert is going to necessarily solve your power issues. I do like Luis Robert Jr., but I'm not sure this is the year to give up the farm for him. Colton, Cape Breton, always appreciate hearing from him. At the end of the day, we need to acquire an everyday left fielder / DH who can mash at the deadline, and Vlad has to be better. Highest average among qualified players, Kirk at 284. Yeah, hard to deny what Kirk has been doing, but as we talked about before, you do need more from your top four players. Let's see, this one's from Carl and Welland. Been saying it for years. This team needs someone who can hit with runners in scoring positions. Santander's career batting average with RISP is below league average. Tired of seeing one or fewer hits with runners in scoring position or solo home runs accounting for all the runs. Yeah, I mean, again, like tonight, I mean, as much as you need more from the top four, I'm not going to pick tonight as the one night to get on Vladdy too much, considering he was the only one to score. But yeah, I mean, you do need a change. It's just, I'm not sure there's an obvious change beyond trades, as Sean brought up. I'm not sure there's an obvious solution here. Let's see. Larry from Keswick. Everyone wants the manager fired. How about Ross Atkins? They had players. He traded Gurriel. Could have re-signed Tosker. He dismantled a good team, not John Schneider. I mean, I'm not sure I'm like that fussed about Lourdes Gurriel Jr. going, but again, like the Teoscar Hernandez part of it, yeah, I wasn't really fussed about trading him for Swanson because at the time, yeah, it was something you needed and he made the outfield adventures something you didn't want to experience, but not re-signing him. I view those as two different things, like the trade and then not re-signing him, but you probably could have gotten more for, you could have offered him more money simply if that's all it took. I know it worked out real well for the Dodgers and he obviously wanted to go back there because who wouldn't, but that's a tough one. And Laura and Washego, nice to see Manoa in the dugout in the last few games. Don't want them rushing back, but I'm really looking forward to seeing him pitch again later this summer, hopefully. Yeah, it's true. You don't know what the season, the future, short term, long term looks like for Manoa, but hey, he was in pretty high spirits. He spoke to the media pregame. Sounds pretty good. I mean, rehab starts. I wonder how far away they are. Maybe you see Manoa as recently as or as soon as end of August, maybe? I wonder if you see him this season. Blue Jays baseball, of course, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rush Control Centers in Nicolet et Trois-Rivières, Quebec. Crown Rush proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rush Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. All right, we are back tomorrow with Nick Ashbourne for pre and post. I'll talk to you later.